Thanks for keeping it on your freeform station. We hope you're enjoying the music. 91.5 WMFO Medford and worldwide at WMFO.org.
Imagine me, a dog, moving in with a human. I didn't know how it would work. Turns out, my human's pretty entertaining. For instance, every time I give my human his ball, he throws it as far as he can. And I'm like, dude, that's your ball. So I go get it, but he just throws it. Again! I gotta say, though, the more he does it, the funnier it is. I love my
human. A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and theshelterpetproject.org.
Welcome back to Time Travel.
Transmission will start in 5 seconds from now. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, in.
Time travelers, happy 2018. It's WMFO in Medford, Massachusetts. It's Time Travel with Chris Earle here with you from 5 to 7 p.m. every Wednesday night here on WMFO 91.5 FM. You can listen live on the iTunes, the Windows Media, your SoundCloud, your Spotify maybe, who knows. Well, if you're listening to it now, you already made it. Good for you. It's WMFO.org on the internet. It's Time Travel with Chris Earle is the group on Facebook. The number is 855-915-WMFO. Time Travel is here with you every week from Wednesday, 5 to 7 p.m. My name is Chris Earle, going into its 10th year. Time Travel. 855-915-WMFO. Thanks. Start the show. Thanks for listening to your freeform station. It's WMFO in Medford. Time travels back. Guest today is Daniela Capolino. Here's Green Day.
I walk a lonely road, the only one that I have ever known. Empty street on the boulevard. walk this empty street on the boulevard of broken dreams, where the city sleeps and I'm the only one.
As Green Day here on Time Travel.
One man, what happened to her plan? She was gonna be an actress, she was gonna be a star, she was gonna shake her ass on the hood of Whitesnake's car. Her yellow SUV is now the enemy, looks at her average life and nothing has been alright since Bruce Springsteen, Madonna, way before Nirvana. There was U2 and Blondie and music still on MTV. Her two kids, they tell her that she's uncool, 'cause she's still preoccupied with 1985. She's seen all the classics, she knows every line. Breakfast Club, Pretty in Pink, even St. Elmo's Fire. She rocked out to Wham, not a big Limp Bizkit fan. She'd get a hand on a member of Duran Duran. Where's the mini skirt made of snake skin? And who's the other guy that's singing in Van Halen? When did reality become TV? Whatever happened to sitcoms, game shows
on the radio?
And bring back
baby, can't you see? I'm calling. A guy like you should wear a warning. It's dangerous. I'm falling. There's no escape. I can't wait. I need a hit. Baby, give me it. You're
LBC. It's kinda hard being Snoop D-O-double-G, but I somehow, some way, keep coming up with funky ass shit every
day. It's WMFO here in Medford. My name is Chris Searle. It's time travel. I brought back time travel and also brought back one of my favorite guests today. Welcome back to WMFO, DJ Daniela Capilino. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm here.
Yeah.
I'm back in the saddle.
How's it looking here? Everything the same to you? Everything?
Including the smell, yes.
Yeah, yeah. It's maybe a little more graffiti, the same smell.
Yeah. Yeah. Some extra stickers from the last time. I think the last time I was here was December of last year doing the Christmas show, or
yes,
maybe the Thanksgiving show.
I believe it was Christmas.
Yep.
I believe it was Christmas. I don't know if we're going to do that this year. Every year, Derek gets angrier and angrier with me, and I just get to the point where I'm like, I don't even want to do this. I keep winning. It's like, how can I keep winning?
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
I got to stop.
You got to stop. You got to give somebody else a chance.
At this point, it's hurting him too much. It's hurting our relationship too
much. Because you guys do, what, is it five songs head-to-head?
We do 10.
Oh, 10 songs.
We do 10 songs. We do 10 rounds and then basically determine a winner. If there's a tie, we do the tiebreaker round.
Yeah.
And we've had a couple of close years.
Yeah.
But yeah.
That was fun. I like giving the critique on each of the songs.
It is fun. It is fun.
But you're right. I would imagine, because you guys do no repeats on that.
Right, exactly.
Can
yeah, no repeats.
Lower that just a skosh.
Yes.
You don't have to shut it all the way off.
Yes.
But he's in my ear.
In the background is Gin and Juice. We're in 2004.
Oh, is that Richard?
That's Richard Cheese and Lounge Against the Machine.
Oh my God, I haven't heard him in years.
I saw him live a number of times. He's great.
Did you?
Yeah, super talented guy.
Yeah.
Just great. I mean, the amount of improv and he does and just the back and forth with the audience and how tight his band is, it's pretty incredible.
That's cool. I've only been familiar with like a handful of his songs. I think maybe somebody else in comedy introduced me initially, and then I remember you playing him.
He's a lot of fun. He got sick for a while, but he's back.
Yeah,
so he was off for about 2 years. I think something happened with his throat for a while.
The good old throat thing.
Seems to happen as you get older.
Yeah, right?
Seems to happen as you get older.
Which venue did you see him at? Where was he playing at?
The last time I saw him was at the Wang Center.
Oh, okay. So he's playing like a good-sized...
Mm-hmm.
Quality venue there.
Yeah, yeah. It was sold out and did pretty well.
Yeah.
And he's usually around Vegas a lot, and he's out in California. But you can actually hire him if you want to have him for just a regular party or a wedding or a bar mitzvah or something.
Let's have a fake bar mitzvah.
That would be so much fun, huh? We should do that.
I'm going to have a fake bar mitzvah. I'm a 44-year-old non-Jewish woman, so... Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'll rent out the Somerville Theater if I get a little cash. We'll get Wretched Cheese and Lounge Against the Machine.
Oh, my God. That would be amazing.
Yeah. So this is from 2004. In the background is Beastie Boys.
I was going to say, is there a year that we're hanging in with?
Yeah. I haven't done time travel in a while. And I figured, well, why not? I'll throw back some stuff in the background while we're chatting.
Sure.
2004. I knew you by 2004. I think we met maybe around 2003.
Yeah. My first time on stage, I would have been at the Emerald Isle in... late December 2003, but I didn't earnestly, start in stand-up, I would say, until like July or June of 2004. So that's usually my benchmark.
So I think me and you probably met either there or at the Comedy Studio, one of the two.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, definitely.
I'd say maybe more so the Isle, because we were actually in a class together at the Isle when we had a bunch of people together.
We did.
And we did a little writing course on Saturday mornings.
Yep.
And I met you and Winston and a number of others on there. Shane was in the class.
Shane Moss, I think
Doug
Andrea
Shatner
Henry
was in there. Andrea Henry, Jan Flanagan.
Somebody that I just spoke to recently, Tony.
Tony the fireman.
Pike. He's fire chief now.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, he was on the news the other night because of all the Shaq attacks.
Down in Wellfleet, right?
Somebody died on Saturday.
Yeah,
right?
Crazy. Yeah,
I didn't
heard
even
a little
know
bit
about
it yesterday.
He was like, hey, Caps, I was on the news.
Yeah, it was nuts.
It's tough,
What was that guy Joe's name that did like some prop stuff? He was in that class.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
He used to be down in the studio quite a bit.
Shoot, I'm drawing a blank.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know it was Joe something.
Yeah.
And who else did we have in there? Oh, we had the wonderful Eric Marks, who pretty much annoyed everybody all the time.
Yeah. He rather enjoyed pointing out other people's
rather than
shortcomings.
Right stuff. He just
whatnot.
Pointed out everybody's shortcomings.
Yeah, yeah.
That was fun, though. I remember creating, I still have my little pamphlet that we sent out, and everybody brought a good amount of people to that. It was like a Saturday afternoon or Saturday night show, and we had the place sold out at the Emerald Isle. It's crazy.
I had my first comedy graduation show. It was supposed to be at the, Comedy Studio in Harvard Square.
Mm.
And this was for the first time I took Rich's class. This was before the advanced class you were talking about.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And I just didn't feel like ready with the material. I wouldn't feel one with my material, you know? And Rich was saying, you know, if you don't get up and do it now, you're never going to do it. I said, trust me, I'm going to do it. So my first actual grad show on stage, like a real show, was actually at the Emerald Isle.
Nice.
Because we had a second graduation show there.
Yeah, and that's cool.
I have the tape. It's VHS. And my voice cracks with the first thing I say. I'm like, hi, everybody. Like, it's so, I'm so nervous in it. And I actually cannot even bring myself to go back and watch it.
That was a fun venue, the Emerald Isle.
That was great. We used to have the game with the, everybody put a dollar in the hat. And if you were on stage when the ambulance or cops went by, you won the money in the hat.
Yeah. It was a dangerous place
well. Yeah, that's not really a fun game for the people on the outside of those walls.
I remember
it was cool.
I remember how happy Ed Regal was when the place sold out on like a Saturday afternoon or Saturday night. He was kind of, jaded, mean guy. He was kind of standoffish.
I got a couple of pull asides from him. You know, people don't really want to hear a woman talk like that.
Oh my, come on.
Yeah, and then
he didn't want to hear a woman talk like
and
that.
And Shane's up on stage talking about
something filthy.
Yeah, something that I don't even know if I can say it on the radio, so I'm not going to say it, but it was from like Urban Dictionary, and he used to go through all these different terms, and one of them had to do with something that was frozen on a stick. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, oh, okay, so I can't talk about that he can do that, so that's cool.
Yeah,
but you know, in the end, he actually ended up booking me for some stuff, so.
Yeah. I he came around to me a little bit later on, but he was kind of standoffish to me first because I ended up getting a bunch of other stuff and
Jack Herney?
Jack Herney was down there a lot and he was buddies with him.
Yep.
And
I remember talk to him Jack saying on, stuff. Instagram.
Oh, you do? I haven't seen
him
talk to him in a while.
Santa Barbara,
no
San
kidding.
Diego, out in California.
Wow, good for
I don't
him.
Know. The only thing I ever see is him posted pictures from these parades with these really like beautiful women in costumes.
I'm
like, what are you doing out there, Jack?
Wow, no kidding. Yeah, I remember he was buddies with Ed, and I remember him mentioning something to Ed about me getting some gigs here and there, and he's like, how many minutes do you have? And I'm like, none of your business, you know? It's like, that's what was kind of funny, is like early on you had people like, completely bullying you that weren't even like doing comedy. It's like, get out of here.
I know.
You know? But,
you're like, how many minutes do you need? I got that many minutes.
I had actually started like years early. I mean, I started like in 88.
Oh my gosh.
And then I got out of it around 90, 91. I had only did a handful of shows, but at that point, you know,
I
had already done a number of them.
I graduated high school.
Yeah, and it's like I was sneaking into To Catch a Rising Star. And the first show I was on is Stephen Wright there, Brian Longwell, Larry Rapucci, and
that's not even there anymore.
So, like, at that point, I was coming back in the early 2000s. Yeah, it's long gone. It used to be next to Uno's, what I think is still there. And it's like a clothing shop now.
Yeah, right.
But, I remember getting back into the early 2000s, and there were a lot of people that were really, like, pricks. And I'm like, oh, my God. And I had a little bit more ego and a little bit more attitude at the time, you know? I was like, screw these guys. And, like, now I just don't really care anymore. But
well,
it's like you just build up your act and be done with it.
That's supposed to be the attitude you should have.
Yeah.
Not care.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I'm semi-retired at all the wrong time because I actually have an act now and I'm pretty damn good.
Isn't that always the way?
Yeah.
I have a whole phone full of stuff that I'm too afraid to get on stage to say because everybody's very sensitive nowadays and I don't know where to even start.
It's a dangerous place to be in.
I just haven't really bitten the bullet.
In the back is Beck from 2000. And this is Deltron 3030 from 2000. How about in 2000? Where were you then?
Remember doing that? Comedy. It wasn't too far away.
Yeah.
Doing stand-up, unemployed, hanging out at the Yum Yum until 2+ hours in the morning with Stash, Rich, Robbie Road Steamer, Nick.
That's cool.
Trying to find my way, you know, in comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got a job and swallow the next 10 years of my life behind a desk.
Yeah. Isn't that awful?
It's terrible.
And then after you spend time, like, what I hate, and I've talked about this a number of times before by myself and with guests, is how in people are with some of their corporate jobs right after they just started. They're like the biggest cheerleaders, and it's like, you know what?
I don't
They'll
the
drop
Kool-Aid.
You any day.
Right.
And it's like, you owe them nothing to.
They laid me off. I got laid off 9 years and 48 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Wow. I was 4 weeks shy of my 10-year anniversary.
Wow.
I would
yeah,
have
that's,
got
that's
Tiffany's
bad.
Gift and yep. all that. And they were like, nah, we think we're going to let you go instead.
Yeah.
And I got laid off over the phone, which is very respectful of somebody who gave you nearly 10 years of their life.
That happened to me last one.
So at this point, you know, it's like, why should I pledge my allegiance to people that have zero interest
Absolutely.
In me? So I'm still trying to find my way, trying to figure out what it's going to be in terms of how I'm going to have an income revenue starting right. again. But
you know what? You're one of the people that will admit it. There's so many people that are so full of crap. We're all works in progress. And there's right. so many people like, oh, I'm exactly where I want to be. This is what I want to do. They're so full
because
of crap.
I think they don't know. You know, we've been so conditioned in our lives mm-hmm. from school to sit at a desk
yes.
for one, and then just to follow the path that they tell you, which is to go to college. And this is really funny. We're having this conversation on a college radio station, by the way.
But, yes. Hello, Tufts.
You know, it's just
university. I should
they
say.
Want people to follow the path.
Right.
That's that. You know, they don't want you to find what you really want to do with your life.
Exactly.
And you don't. They want your life to have meaning. They want you to be an obedient employee, worker, and then
here's a little bit of
44-year-old at this point that's been yep. laid off twice by the two jobs that she was loyal to for the longest. One
yes.
was 4 years and one was 10 years, and
it's like a bad
I
relationship.
I pledged my allegiance
too.
To myself at this point mm-hmm. and my spiritual side, and I've gotten so much further back towards like what's natural and true and real
mm-hmm.
in life that I think I'd probably just, I don't even think I could hit submit on sending a resume to a job like that, never mind bringing myself to actually sit in an interview
right.
and be seriously having a conversation with people about this fictional fake world that they all live in where you have a separate wardrobe mm-hmm. and I don't know, it's just, I think I have to have, you know, I'm trying to sell all my clothes online, so I'm seeing the fact that I had all these clothes that all I ever did was wear them Monday through Friday, and
right.
that was it. And I played this character
yep.
that was a graphic designer that sat in a gray cubicle all day long, and that was that half of, you know, it's like everybody's living these dual lives.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how happy those people that say that they're that happy are, or how much of it is that, well, I put in all this work and money into this, like, I better tell people I'm happy,
oh,
but am
course.
I really happy?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but that's why they go out and do a lot of the things that they do in the off time, because they're trying to fill a void that they just don't know what that void is.
I think I'm going to change the name of this show up until 5 o'clock at least to Keeping It Real with Daniela Capolino and Chris Earl. This is what I've learned. I'm 46.
Yeah.
And,
so we're in the same, you know.
Laid off a few times. And,
yeah.
and basically anybody I see with a kid that's like a teenager thinking about getting out of school, this is what you should learn. Okay.
Yeah.
You're going to buy a condo or a house, or you're going to rent a condo. You're going to live with your parents. Go and learn something about electrical.
Yes.
Go and learn something about plumbing.
Learn
go
a
learn
trade.
About, yeah. Learn about carpentry.
Learn
even haircuts.
You can. That's an actual real thing and not on a computer screen necessarily. Like, I don't
yeah.
care if you know how to build a spreadsheet. I really don't.
It's a shame that there isn't a combination of a trade school
yeah.
as well as, you know, high school.
My high school was that.
It
we
was,
had a full
really.
Auto body, auto mechanics, electrical, plumbing, carpentry, any of those type culinary arts. So
mm-hmm.
in the morning, if you were the dumbass kids, so to speak, that's what they thought of them, you know, that the underachievers, so to speak, they were mm-hmm. all funneled into all those classes so they could be, you know, blue collar worker guys, while the rest of the kids were funneled upstairs to be in, you know, literature and all those other types of, you know, emphasis. You could also take art as a major as well. So
yeah.
these were kids that would go for their first three blocks in the morning would be auto mechanics, auto body, any number of these classes,
yep.
which was great. I took auto mechanics in high school, actually. They had a...
That's cool.
This was in 1990, I think, because I would have been driving already. So
yeah.
my junior year in high school, I took a class with a bunch of my girlfriends. It was called Auto Mechanics for the Non-Mechanic, because they didn't want to say for women, because...
Oh. Yeah.
But it ended up
that's
being
actually politically correct.
All women. Yeah,
yes.
it was very... I mean, this was... That's why I'm saying. It was like
yeah.
1990 already. This was...
Yeah.
So... But then you got into the classroom, and the guy that was teaching the class, I don't think he wasn't the regular dude that would
yeah.
normally teach. He was like a fill-in. Can you lower that a little bit?
Yeah.
I'm losing my train of thought.
I would have joined the...
I'm getting old, so...
I would have joined the class
yeah.
just to be with all the women and get them watching
right.
me all greasy.
Yeah. So what was great is that we were allowed to bring our cars in if
yes.
we had a car to fix them. But
nice.
Like the first couple of classes, though, this guy was like teaching us how to put air in a tire, like really stupid little, you know, he was underestimating. Well, I should also preface this that I hung out with all the badass dudes that built their own cars
uh-huh.
in high school.
Well, that's cool.
That's the kind of chick that I was. So...
Mm-hmm.
I knew some things about cars. I could identify parts of the engine, and I knew, you know, I've watched them build their muscle cars and various things like that. So I get in this class, this guy starts talking to us about putting air tires and pressure in the tire and air pressure and how to find the numbers on the side of the tire so you know what size tire you have and all that sort of stuff, which is very useful to have.
Yes.
It's also stuck on the sticker on the door jamb of your car, too. So if you ever need that info and can't read it on the tire, it should be there.
We like to educate as well as entertain here on Keeping It Real.
I know all kinds of stuff. So this guy was like, and just make sure, ladies, though, when you go to put air in your tires, that you do it at a gas station that's next to a salon so you could get your nails done afterwards.
Oh.
So there were a lot of little comments like that. And I was like, screw this
guy. That's pretty lousy. Yeah.
It was really lousy. And so after that, it just motivated me to really, so anytime... So I started raising my hand all the time when he wanted to volunteer for something or anything like that. And I was like done with everything in like 2 seconds because I knew how to do half of that stuff before I even walked in the door.
Yeah.
And I was like, I want to learn how to change the brakes on my car and do an oil change. Like, yeah. When do we do that kind of thing? And so he could see and understand that I was a lot more advanced. So I got to, basically he showed me how to do one brake and that was it. And now I could probably do it again.
The calipers?
Yeah.
Change the rotor?
I didn't change the rotors. It was just the pads at that time. But then, because my friends all built cars and stuff like that, they had the equipment at home. So after school, like, I got to change my brakes. So I go buy the pads for, like, $23 or whatever. This is 1991.
Yeah, you go to the junkyard or whatever.
Go to his house and throw it up on the blocks and then change my, brake pads after school. Because that's how I used to roll.
I did oil changes. I changed a number of brakes.
They're so
did
easy mufflers. To do. It's so crazy
exhaust
how easy
works,
that stuff.
Easy. Yeah, I did all that stuff. But now it's like, as I'm older, it's like, forget it. I don't want to go under a car. My dad's like 76, and he's still going under. He's a little guy, though. He just weighs like 110 pounds.
My brother is actually amazing. He just changed the catalytic converter in his Jeep.
Yeah.
Because he was like, I'm not paying for the labor for this or whatever. And he watched some YouTube videos. He bought the parts on, got the parts really cheap online and, consulted with the mechanic here and there. But he did it, and it looks spectacular. And
yeah, it's cool. You can find almost anything on YouTube and stuff now.
It's amazing.
But you want to look for the ones that have a lot of views and a lot of good comments on there because anybody can put up anything.
Right,
next thing you know, you're like dismantling your engine.
exactly. Fortunately, he's really, really, really bright and is adept at all that kind of stuff, so he knows what's up.
My uncle, he had a Camaro. I forget what year it was, but he tore apart the entire engine and put it back together again.
Oh my God.
And my father said he was watching him like do this over a period of like an afternoon. Yep. And he's like, this is amazing. My uncle was a genius.
I was going to ask him how long it took him. He did it in one afternoon.
Oh, yeah. He did it in like a day. And put it back together again. He had all the pieces out, and my father's just like, "Oh, what are you doing?"
Did he clean it or anything? Or just to take it apart to see if he could do it.
He took it apart and put it back together again. I think he did it just to see if he can do it.
That is so cool.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. And I think he went to Tufts actually.
Did he?
Yeah, he went to Tufts University like way back in like the 60s.
Yeah, it's like instead of knitting, he just takes a car apart kind of thing.
Yeah, pretty wild. But my brother is actually great with mechanics too, and my father as well. I know better than the average person.
Yes,
but nowadays I don't work on my car as much. I just got a new car like about a year ago, and I love it.
What'd you get?
So great! I got a Honda Accord.
Yeah,
I got a sport version. The thing's great, and it's like nothing like having a new car and not having to worry about anything.
Right?
You know, because like the other car was on its last legs for a couple of years, and I'm like, I don't even know why I'm driving this thing anymore. You know,
what were you driving before? I forget.
I had a Ford Taurus, which was a good car. Right. I had it for about I still got it. Got it on the road. Yeah, still running, but I had that for quite some time.
Yeah.
I had a 2002 that's still running.
I have an 02 Civic that is slowly but surely starting to get older and older.
Honda's a great car.
The driver's side window just broke, which I believe might be the track or something. I don't know what the heck it is.
Oh, it came off. It's like slid down?
No, something cracked.
Yeah.
And I heard it plinko into my door.
Oh,
you know?
No.
It was like, so it fell halfway in, so currently it's being held up by tape, and then I put two rubber corks, like I made door stops out of rubber corks and jammed on the inside so you can't force the window down. So
in 1988 or 9, I went on a date, and I borrowed my father's car. It was a Jetta. It was a Volkswagen Jetta, and it was a hot, hot day. We went to Six Flags.
Yeah.
And I was coming back, and I had already dropped her off, and I put on the AC, and I had opened up the window, and as soon as I rolled down the window, it like shattered.
Oh my God.
It just completely shattered, because I guess the expansion of like the 100-something heat and blasting the AC.
Was it
so
like
quick.
A roll down?
Yeah, it was a roll down. Yeah. Back in 88, 89, everything was pretty much roll downs at that point, unless you're paying the extra $3,000 for automatic windows.
Yeah. But now you're paying that extra $3,000 to get a cigarette lighter.
Yeah, my dad was pretty bummed out because he had just gotten the car a few months earlier.
Man.
But it was so funny.
Yeah.
That's why you got to get the auto glass what is it, Collision? On your insurance, if you got Collision, they'll fix it for you. They'll do it for free. You pay like the deductible. It's like $50 or whatever.
Oh, yeah. So it's covered.
It's covered.
I don't know anything. Yeah. I just pay the people. I'm like, you worried about it. All right, I'll call my insurance company then and say, hey, listen, I have a safety hazard. My window won't open.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just glad it didn't go all the way into the door, because then I would have been really hosed.
That's what happened with my dad's driving around with a plastic bag. Yeah, it was crazy. Yeah. It just went shattered and went completely in the door.
Yeah. Like my mom's car window broke before she got her new one, and I'm like, well, I can't put a trash bag. She's not going to be able to see through this. What am I going to do? I took that stuff, that film you put over your windows in the wintertime,
mm-hmm.
I taped it to the window, and then I took the hair dryer outside,
mm-hmm.
got it nice and taut. Might as well have been a window. It's perfect.
The happiest part of that story, though, with the glass breaking in my dad's Jetta, was it was a first date and I had already dropped her off.
Oh man! I mean, talk about timing. Yeah. That's awesome.
There's one good thing.
Yeah, there's a plus for you right there at least.
Yeah. You're listening to. We're gonna call it Keeping It Real. You're listening to Keeping It Real with Chris Earl, Danielle Capolito until 5 p.m. and then we got Watch This. Winston Kidd's gonna pop in here. We got five movies. We decided to do a war theme today. So Winston and myself, we picked five movies for you, and that's going to be from 5 to 7 p.m. In the background, we have the Bloodhound Gang. These guys are kind of fun.
I haven't heard the song. They're like one-hit wonder.
Bad Touch.
Right?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. And they also had that Burn, MF Burn.
Oh, right. Yeah. Oh, why did I think that was the other band? Cake.
Nope. Sounds like Cake.
It does sound like Cake.
Yeah, it sounds a lot like Cake.
This whole time, I thought that was Cake.
But yeah, it was Bloodhound Gang. That was their first hit, and then this was their second one.
Yeah.
But... yeah, they were kind of fun. They had kind of a Cake sound to them, and they added a little hip-hop and a little rap to it. It was pretty good.
Yeah. I brought my iPod, which I probably bought in 2004. Mm-hmm. I don't even know if it'll fire up, but I'll look and see what I've got from 2004.
All right. You want to hear?
I mean, yeah, I don't
know. We're jumping around a little bit. This one's from 2000. I'm going to go back to the 80s in a minute or go to the 70s.
I have so much food in my bag.
What kind of food? Anything good?
Listen, I got...
Did you make biscotti?
I didn't. Yeah. Not yet. I got Duke's Hickory Peach Barbecue Smoked Shorty Sausages because my metabolism is like burning food as quickly as I basically am putting it in.
Are those organic?
They're not, but it's like I can understand like all the ingredients are there. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Pork, peaches, cane sugar, salt, spices, dried tomato, vinegar, celery powder, dried onion.
Mm-hmm.
All the good stuff, you know.
I should mention no food is allowed in WMFO studios. Opened out of the package.
What? No.
I should mention that. It is in the package.
It is in the package, yeah.
I've had some problems here at WMFO in the recent weeks.
Oh, with what?
I had somebody call in complaining about a song that I played.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, my commentary after the song that played. They didn't like
it. Listen, does the Jethro Tull guy still call in or no?
No, I think he's dead.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I think he's dead. He stopped calling like a couple of years ago.
He gave up. He said, forget it.
Yeah.
He discovered that he could just go out and buy. He
took his flute and went up into the sky. Yeah. Oh, my God. What a crazy person that was.
That was wild. Yeah, he used to call in to all the other stations, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This person, for those of you.
My buddy over at the other one, I'm not going to name names because, you know.
Yeah.
They're our big competition. Just kidding.
Oh, okay.
I'm kidding. They all moved up. They're all up the street now, but they used to get it over at ZLX, too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, this guy used to call in all shows.
Yeah.
And he would literally ask, will you play Jethro Tull? And this was kind of his shtick. And he didn't do it for a month or a year. He did it for like 10 years.
Right. He did it for the five that I was on the air here.
Yeah.
I started
own show in 2008, so.
Yeah.
It was at least the first 5-6 years, yeah.
Right, and it was so funny because if you're like, oh, we didn't really have Jethro Tull readily available.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, then can you play the Moody Blues?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Okay, you just picked the two bands like I basically do not have on my iPod.
I'm going to tell you what I did, actually. I took the number after we ended up getting the callbacks.
Yeah.
I got his number.
Oh, really?
And I started calling him.
You did?
At like midnight, one in the morning.
Oh, my God, you did not. Yeah. That's terrible.
And of course, you know.
Yeah.
I'm like,
can you play
have any
Jethro?
Yes, exactly. Do you have any Moody Blues? Do you have any Jethro Tull? So... Luckily, I didn't get called by the police for that one.
Wouldn't it be funny if it was like,
yes.
It's not Jeff, it's Ian, was it Ian Anderson is the guy's real name? It's not Jethro Tull.
Yes,
the name
Ian Anderson.
Yeah.
Luckily, I didn't get called by the cops for that one.
A bored Ian Anderson sitting in a basement somewhere.
Yeah.
What really threw me off the most about him and why I didn't really believe it to be true the first few times he called in was because he sounded like the Jerky Boys to me.
Yes, he did.
He had a little bit of that, like, my shoes fell down the stairs kind of voice.
Yeah,
to him.
I think, well, there was something seriously wrong with him.
Yeah, I know. I mean, we came to find that
but
out.
But occasionally they would laugh.
But
occasionally
there was a CD that they put on the bulletin board here that was like, if the Jethro Tull guy calls, here's the CD.
Yeah, yeah.
But
Derek would just say, no Jethro Tull, and he'd hang up. And, but I engaged a few times,
Derek,
depending on my mood for the
few
day.
Words. Yeah.
Yes. And Derek tries to be a little overly polished, I guess is the best way to say it.
Right.
He tries to be as professional as possible, but sometimes he doesn't realize when he's talking about, you know, the mic's not working or the board's not working and things like that. Nobody's interested in that except for everybody here in the studio. But I am here with you until 7 p.m. tonight. It's Daniela Capolino here. We're talking mostly just about life and things like that. We're keeping it real. I wonder if there is a show called Keeping It Real. There's got to be.
I'm sure. I mean, Chappelle had that whole thing about keeping... He had a skit about sketch about keeping it real, right?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't he?
I think so. Well, oh, it's the Keeping It Real with Reverend Al Sharpton.
Oh, my gosh.
Yep, there's a radio show called Keeping It Real with Reverend Al Sharpton. Oh, we'll just stick with time travel.
Yeah, I think that works. That works.
Would you like to listen to Keeping It Real with Reverend Al Sharpton? We can do a snippet of it and see what he has to
say. Are we allowed to?
Yeah, of course.
He's such a
blowhard. We'll see what he has to say. All right, let's see. This is Reverend Al Sharpton. Here we go.
Is he on right now?
I'm going to put it right on. Here we go. This is Keeping It Real. It says he's on UBA TV, whatever that is.
Do you know what time it is? It's Al Sharpton time. It's time to put aside all pretenses. Deception, denial, or fronting. The time has come to keep it real on Keeping It Real with Reverend Al Sharpton.
Wow.
You need to keep it real with Reverend Al Sharpton right here on Uber TV.
He's on Uber TV, whatever that is.
That's what they make you, 1 to 4 make p.m. you watch in the future when you get into an Uber. You're going to have to sit there and listen to Reverend Al.
You know what's funny? It has 1,700 views, and it's been on there on YouTube since 2009.
Not shocked at all.
Both
I'm
of
actually
us are more
surprised
famous
it has
than
that more views.
Reverend Al Sharpton. Wow.
I got videos of my cat on Instagram that have more views than that.
I often thought that Reverend Al Sharpton was the same guy as Don King for a couple of years. I don't know why.
I think it's the hair. They both had that crazy hair. But remember him in the 80s, like with those polyester suits, and he had that crazy outlandish hair. But so did Don King.
Yes, yes.
They both had that, like, that cartoon blown in the face with a shotgun hairstyle kind of thing. Like,
yeah, great
straight
marketer.
Back.
Great marketer with Mike Tyson back in the 80s, boxing promoter. He's still alive, I believe, but he's
Mike
old.
Tyson?
No. Don King's alive, 87.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Reverend Al's still alive.
Yeah.
Keeping it real. He runs for president like every 4 years, doesn't
he's
he?
Such a puppet.
Yeah.
All those people. I don't pay any attention to that mainstream stuff. Remember I said, you know, like I live in the natural. They're all characters to me. I write it all off that way. It's like I can't get into it. I've got so much other stuff going on in my life that I have to focus my attention and my energies on that I can't waste it on getting mad about the Kardashians or...
You know, I don't understand. Well, I do understand that show. I just get so surprised at how popular that became and how many people watched it. Just nuts to me. It just goes to show you, like, most people want fame, glory, greed.
Yeah.
You know, it's basically one of the seven. It's a number of the seven deadly sins on that show. It's crazy.
Well, they are. I think they're all witches anyway. So why not? They got a nice little coven. I mean, any dude that goes into that family comes out all broken and busted.
I've never watched a full episode of that.
Lamar Odom got all messed up by those girls. Look at Kanye, although he was already...
Well, you had the only one I think that really came out, well, they all came out doing much better than they were doing, but like Bruce Jenner turning into Caitlyn Jenner, it's like, what is going on here?
I don't know.
Just crazy. This is just crazy. That's why it's like...
That's why I feel like I'm 44 going on like WTF, how old actually am I? Because I don't... Look, it doesn't seem... I don't know. I don't know how to put it into words. I thought I wouldn't be feeling these things until I was like into my 60s or 70s, you know. But I'm 44 going on, stand on my lawn and shake my fist at the kids like, you know.
I was at Six Flags once with my, I got two Six Flags stories today.
Look at you. I have no Six Flags. I got a Universal Studios.
Yeah.
I've been there, but I never Six Flags.
I was in line with my brother and his girlfriend. At the time, they were around 19, I think. Mm-hmm. 19 or 20. And I was there with my girlfriend, and he was there with his girlfriend. Yeah. And they're relatively young. And I'm, you know, in my early 30s at the time. And in line were some people that were probably about 14, 15 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And they all had baby pacifiers in their mouth or around their necks.
What?
And my brother, and a couple of them were sucking them. You know, one of them was like gold baby pacifier. And there was a bunch of them. There must have been 20 of these things. So my brother was like puzzled and he was angry, you know? Yeah. And I said, congratulations, Kyle. I said, you're finally part of the next generation. you see something that you do not understand.
Yeah.
It's like you have no idea why these people are doing it. It makes no sense.
It doesn't.
And that's when you really, when you decide, wow, you know, I'm getting older. I remember specifically a point for me where I'm like, okay, I'm the next generation. I was 26 and I had a kid move in that was with me. He was like 19, out of high school, and he was working with his dad at like a chemical place. He was working at DuPont.
Oh, wow.
And so I'm 26. I'm buying beers and stuff. He's underage. Yeah. You know, I bought him beer a couple of times, I believe. Or actually, I said that I would.
Yes.
I'm like, you never need a couple beers, whatever. I'll stick them in the fridge, whatever.
Yeah.
But I came home once, and he thought I was away for a weekend. He's there, and they're like huffing stuff.
Oh, my gosh.
From like, they're huffing chemicals. And there's like 12 of them in my apartment, like all messed up.
Fix-a-flat?
And my roommate was just a disaster. And I'm like, this kid's gonna die.
Oh,
and I'm
my
like,
God.
I'm looking at all these people around the apartment. I'm like, that was the point where I'm like, I'm a completely different generation.
Right.
I'm like, dude.
Yeah.
I'm like, I will buy you beer.
Right.
I'm like,
this
I will buy
madness.
You beer. I'm like, this is crazy what you guys are doing.
Yeah.
And that was their thing. There was a whole bunch of them, like for a period of a couple of years, you know, before all the heroin and the, you know, the crack and the heroin and all that stuff came in and came out. You know, there's always a drug of choice, it seems, every four or five years for a generation. And this was theirs.
Through.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
And eventually, about a year later, after he only lived with me for a year, but afterwards, about a year later, one of his friends that was at the party, he died.
Of course.
He huffed a little bit too much, and then he was blue, and that was it.
Graduated to like model airplane glue or something, you know? Something.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
That's wild. I worked at MVP Sports back in the day, which was a sporting goods store in this area, for those that are under the age of old like me. And it was one of the guys that worked in the sporting goods department used to huff the tennis ball cans.
Really?
Yeah.
What did you get out of that?
I don't know. I think they put some sort of air in there to keep the balls fresh.
Nice.
Right? Because they're always sealed. They're like, you know, they like the.
That's what every middle-aged man needs.
Right? Yes. It was a pull tab.
Yes.
And, and on a couple of occasions, it was like, pop the can. You could kind of just tell. Like, they had that little faraway look in their eye, and they were a little too happy to be at work. And then I think they just would defect the can and put it in the defect pile.
Really?
It's like they vacuum seal them so that the...
What's in those things?
In tennis balls?
Yeah.
Or what's in there? What's the air
it's
you
helium,
need?
Isn't it?
No, I don't think it's... I don't
it's
think it's helium,
somehow.
But it's pressurized or whatever it was enough to give him like a little bit of a boost to get through the rest of the day.
That's crazy.
I know. He was like my age, really.
I almost think that's dangerous that we're even talking about that. It might give young people the wrong impression.
I know. Don't do these things.
Don't do
it's
these
really
things.
Bad
we should say that.
For your brain, to be honest. And your lungs. Terrible.
I'm going to look up tennis ball air.
See what they put in there.
Yeah.
I mean, they...
Oh,
I mean,
here's
maybe
a Q&A
it was all in
of
his head.
Why do tennis balls lose their bounce?
Right. See, that's it. That's why they keep them vacuum sealed so they stay fresh.
It says, I need to know why tennis balls lose their bounce when removed from the vacuum can. I can prove that this happens, but I need help as to the why. Any help? Age 13, Michael out of Georgia.
I mean, isn't the future amazing, though? Like, when
you
were 13 years old,
great.
If you wanted the answer to that, well, where would you go?
Yeah. It's like, I love doing this stuff. This is actually the only fun part of 2018,
tape,
I think. Oh, Juice Newton in the background with Queen of Hearts. It says, a lady named Tamara answered Michael, and it says, dear Michael, the reason that tennis balls bounce in the first place is because the air on the inside of the ball pushes outwards. When the ball hits the ground, the side of the ball squishes inwards. The air on the inside of the ball pushes out again, and that's what pushes the ball back up off the ground. Tennis balls, which are different from other types of balls, like racquet balls, are made so that there's actually more air pressure on the inside of the ball than the outside. The air pushes the inside of the ball with a force of 27 pounds per square inch, and the outside with a force of 13.7 pounds per square inch. It's a very intense answer she has.
Two more paragraphs. Thorough. She must be a teacher. Two more paragraphs.
It says the container that the balls are stored in is also pressurized to the same pressure as the balls. So the can is a pressure can, not a vacuum can. Oh. It says a vacuum can would have less air in it.
Oh, right. Obviously, it would compress. It would swallow the ball versus be suspending the ball inside of it. Right.
While a pressure tube has more air in it than it would if it was filled with an ordinary atmosphere. Because there's the same pressure of the air in the can, the same amount of air pushing on the inside of the balls as on the outside. So once you take the balls out of the can, there's more air pushing on the inside than the outside, and a little bit of that air actually manages to push its way through the outside of the ball. So as the ball gets older, more air escapes from the inside. There's not as much pushing on the inside of the ball, so it doesn't bounce as well. Thank you for the help. Thank you for their help on this question. Why did she write that? She's the one that answered. It was great up until her last sentence.
She blew it.
And then she just sounded like another 13-year-old kid. Thank you for the help on this question. What? She should have said thank you for asking the question.
Right, right.
That's crazy.
But she didn't answer what
they
use.
She was so full. But she didn't say what was inside of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe just pressurized air and
some,
it was all in.
Some kind of pressurized air.
Or it could be just the
air.
Materials that the ball was made of combined with that pressurized air gave him the sensation of what he was looking for, I guess.
Well, here's the thing. So if you do a Google search and you put in tennis ball, and I'm going to put tennis ball high.
Yeah,
it doesn't come up. It says tennis ball, high speed camera, high altitude, high speed. So luckily enough, people aren't doing this anymore.
Try tennis ball can huff.
Tennis ball can huff. Crazy. Let's see. Yes, it's here. Tennis ball can huffing. It says what color were tennis balls? It tells the same. Opening a pack of tennis ball. I love the smell and the sound of a new can being opened is my second favorite. Somebody had actually written this. 100 awesome things. Number 996, opening and sniffing a pack of tennis balls. So this guy, Neil,
that's
in 2008, he wrote 1,000 awesome things. It says there's too many things.
That wouldn't even breach my 2,000 awesome things. Would I ever put the smell of a can of tennis balls?
He says too many things that aren't, there's not too many things that aren't soda. That sound like soda when opened, but tennis balls do.
Oh.
And that's part of their beauty. You snap back that tab and you hear the push sound.
You do.
And catch a whiff of those vacuum sealed, Korean factory packed, well that's racist, hot rubbery plastic fumes. And then he wrote tennis anyone. Well done.
Oh my God.
That's Neil.
How many bodies in that basement?
I almost want to see what his top 1,000. He wrote 1,000 awesome things.
Yeah.
And that was number 996. So
wow.
I wonder what the four things worse than that were.
I was going to say, exactly. What are the things that came before that?
He wrote broccoli flower is number 1,000. What is that?
Broccoli flower. Is that
broccoli? I
don't
even know what that is. My guess is it's broccoli.
Yeah.
Broccoli flower.
Where is this person from?
I don't know.
Flower.
It says he noticed something funny, went through a grocery store flyer. On the produce page was an ugly green-looking cauliflower. It's broccoli and cauliflower.
Oh.
With the caption, $2.99 broccoli flower, a green cauliflower labeled as broccoli flower. This bizarre misfit child from the two of nature's most hideous vegetables.
It's... Okay, I see. It's, I'm seeing the photographs of this, and it looks like Romanesco. You're looking at, is it just a green cauliflower?
Yes. It says the best part is that people usually don't believe me when I mention it, and to top it off, I've never seen it advertised since.
Yeah, so there's two types. There's green cauliflower, which literally looks like a cauliflower is green.
Yes.
Now I'm understanding. The other one is Romanesco, which is super cool looking. It's like...
it's broccoli that's white or something?
It's broccoli? No, it's in a spiral.
Oh,
so
neat.
It's like looks like a giant drill that they'd use to bore through the earth.
What is an avocado? No, not an avocado. What's the thing that's it's sharp that you can get in the produce section? and you pick off the pieces
artichoke.
And eat it. An artichoke.
Yes.
Looks similar to an artichoke, yeah.
Kind of, yeah. It's got that whole Fibonacci spiral thing going on with it. Romanesco.
But that was his number 1,000 awesome
broccoflower
thing. The mutant broccoflower shunned by society.
These are his favorite things?
I think I like this guy better than Al Sharpton's Keeping It Real.
Oh my God, this guy is way realer than Al Sharpton. I've never met Al Sharpton or this guy, but I can tell you right now.
This is actually a pretty good idea. Let's see what he... I wonder if he made it up to 1,000. So, I mean, I'm down to number one. I'm going to look.
Do you do lists like
he
this?
He did. He made it down to number one.
He did. What's
so this was a blog from 2008, if anybody's interested.
Okay, so there won't. There. So it won't be up to date.
No.
We're missing 10 years of great stuff.
We'll play along. We'll do a couple more. Give me a number between 1 and 1,000.
1 and 1,000. Let's
than
try.
Other than what we just did.
423.
Let's number 423 of his awesome things. Of his 1,000 awesome things. This is interesting because it has to do with a ball again.
Oh.
Number 423 is when a foul ball is flying towards you.
That's really funny.
That is a pretty awesome
that
thing.
I would have picked that number because here's a funny true story.
Uh-huh.
I got hit with a foul ball at a Red Sox game when I was like 18 years old.
Was it awesome or horrible?
Oh, it was horrible.
Horrible.
We were sitting on the sideline right at third base. My friend... Her dad used to work at the Globe, so we used to get tickets for games. This was probably, again, 1989, mm-hmm. 90, somewhere in there.
Mm-hmm.
And they hit the ball, and I think we see it going like foul, but I turned to her to say, I don't think it's going to come anywhere near us. And then I literally got whacked in the back with the baseball.
Ow.
And then like eight dudes dove into my seat to take the ball. I didn't
see
even
if
get
you were
to keep,
okay.
No. I didn't even get to keep the ball. That's the insane part.
Yes.
I didn't even get to keep the ball.
It's awful. And
it
some
went,
jackass
the guy behind
left,
me got
right?
it and
yeah.
his they, I think they were from Jersey.
People suck.
She had a she's yeah. like, "Oh my God, Herman's going to be so jealous you caught the ball." And I was like, excuse me, but my back technically caught
the ball." They should have given you the ball. That's lousy. You know,
seriously.
If it were up to me and I were a player, I would take a fine and stop the game and give you the ball. That's what I would do.
I think I might have been too deep in. I was like, you know, 5 or 6 rows back.
Yeah.
But all I could think of after that was how many people that I knew were at home watching the game mm-hmm, and saw me mm-hmm. get whacked in the back with a baseball.
Here's my idea. So his awesome things, we should do 1,000 horrible things because being hit by a foul ball could be our number
that
423.
Could be exactly. I'm game for that. We should do that. Let's do it.
He says for number 423.
Maybe that should be our Christmas show instead of...
we'll do 1,000 horrible things. I could come up with at least 900 off the top of my head.
Christmas is probably my number one.
The
to
last
be
100 will be strong. Oh, is that the horrible thing? That's your number one?
Yeah.
Christmas? Oh, I don't even want to say what my number one is, but I have something in mind. It's actually somebody in mind.
Yeah.
That would be my number one horrible thing.
Oh, yeah, we'd have
thing.
To sort of figure out whether it's things or like.
No,
what,
they can, they're, no they're pretty much
season.
A thing. They're not even human. They're a thing.
Okay, yeah.
When the foul ball's flying towards you, he says, here's the pitch. The bat cracks. The ball smacks high into twilight sky. Eyeballs pop. Voices cry. That was probably you.
That was me.
And the crowd rises. The ball dives down to the stands. Popcorns drop. Gloves are smacked. And heartbeats thump as it rushes towards our seat. Awesome.
Yeah, because he thinks he's going to catch it. But if you turn your back to your friend to say, I don't think it's going to come near you, that's, mm-hmm. you know, then it becomes 423 on your 1,000 most hated things.
And then he plugs a book at the end. Congratulations to my friend Chris, whose new book comes out today.
Hey, I didn't know you wrote a book.
It's spelled with C-H-R-I-S, though. This guy's C-H. So this is from 2010. But yeah, he actually did it. We went all through. Let's try one more awesome thing. We're going to make it horrible. We're going to turn it into something horrible.
All
Let's
right.
read one of his.
Yeah, you want to
give me
pick?
Another number.
I'll give you another number.
I'll pick 666.
Oh my God, don't pick that number. Please don't pick that number.
Well, it's one of the numbers on the way. The mark of the beast. I just want to see what his awesome thing. I want to see if he talks about the devil.
Maybe
something.
He skips it. Like they do in elevators with number 13. I was going to pick number 13, but.
This is his number 666. He has a picture of a kid in a devil suit.
Oh.
Giving people what they want.
Oh, see?
Isn't that brilliant? It's a good idea, actually.
Then he doesn't have to say anything. And nothing gets marred by that number.
But he has a sweet little young kid in a devil outfit.
I'm going to guess he's probably, yeah.
Yeah. All right. We got to pick another one after that.
Yeah.
All right. Give me a number.
Let's pick 27.
27. All right. So this isn't actually particular.
Sorry. I got to make you scroll all the way to the bottom.
Yeah, I got
to
scroll. there's all kinds of comments. People are also talking about... They're
dang, you
awesome
have to
things.
Copy and paste
oh,
that link.
Oh, this is a pretty
so
awesome thing. I like this.